One thing, though, that stands out is when the results rolled in, it was clear that in Russia, socialism was victorious as a political ideal for the future. The Socialist Revolutionary Party, which had massive peasant support, won 44% of the vote. Bolsheviks came in second with 24% of the vote and, in fact, had majorities in most industrial regions and in the army. Mensheviks did abysmally with 3%, but still part of this growing socialist majority, and other socialist parties, of which there were quite a few, also won 3%. In other words, socialists of various stripes won 3/4 of the total vote in this freest of elections. One should add, nationalist parties also did quite well. Muslim parties, Armenian, German, Jewish parties won about 8% of the total vote, and many of them were also socialist as well as nationalist parties. By the way, the liberal cadets, who did the best among liberals, polled 5%, less than 5%. Socialism, in other words, clearly won, but the Bolsheviks clearly lost, with only 24% of the national vote. But this was made all the clearer at the opening session of the Constituent Assembly, when a resolution was put forward by the Bolsheviks to support the new government, to support the Council of People's Commissars and the coming to power of the Bolsheviks. It was rejected in a vote on the floor of the Constituent Assembly. Bolsheviks felt they had no choice. They were certainly unwilling to give up power, though that's what they were just asked to do, so they disbanded the Constituent Assembly. Locked the doors, told everybody to leave. This was on January 5th, 1918. They also allowed troops to open fire at pro-Constituent Assembly demonstrators that were gathering on the streets of Petrograd, a firing on people protesting the lack of democracy in the new Russia that reminded many people of the events of January 9th, 1905, only the anniversary of which was coming a few days later. Their public arguments, Bolshevik public arguments about why they closed the Constituent Assembly, are quite telling, indeed quite ominous, in the sort of exaggerated accusations of what they were doing. They said that these are mostly Lenin's words to the public, the Constituent Assembly was really nothing, they said, but a tool of bankers, capitalists, landlords, and others, enemies of the people, quite ignoring the fact that there was a majority of socialists there. According to the Bolsheviks, the Constituent Assembly only paid lip service to popular demands for land and peace and workers' control. Its real aim, Lenin said, was to fasten a noose around the neck of socialist power and the whole revolution. Now, despite these various efforts, perhaps because of these efforts, Bolshevik authority by early 1918 was still really quite insecure. And indeed, predictions of its failure had not stopped and were becoming quite compelling. The objective situation was dire. The economy was, in fact, still declining despite these first efforts, which were still more on paper than in practice. Food was in short supply. Bread was still in short supply. And many, many people were out of work. The war continued, for the Germans, in fact, were quite reluctant to negotiate a peace treaty without insisting on devastating conditions. So negotiations with the Germans continued at Brest-Litovsk, the city where these negotiations were taking place. The Bolsheviks couldn't just pull out of the war and let the Germans invade it. They needed to create a separate peace. They were finding this difficult. And disorder in the country was, in fact, pervasive. Crime was a growing problem. Looting, hooliganism. They were not bringing order to the country, much less getting Russia out of the war or restoring the economy. And one hears this in the voices of people who are now writing not to the provisional government, not to the leaders of before October, but now writing to the Bolsheviks about what was going on. For example, a group of five peasants wrote a letter to Lenin in early January 1918. And they said, and this is typical of so many of the letters one can find in the archives being sent to those in authority under the Bolsheviks, and especially to Lenin. They wrote, "It's time to come and take a look at what the unhappy peasant has come to. We reach out piteously to the authorities, and they aren't there. We're surrounded by violence, robbery, killings, bribery. Our babies are already swelling up from hunger and crying, 'Papa, give us some bread.'" The same cry of desperation about conditions could be heard from many hungry workers as well, many of whom, in fact, were giving up on living in the city at all and heading back to their native country homes, where starvation was beginning as well. Meanwhile, alternative parties on the left remained active and were increasingly critical of Bolshevik failures and betrayals. It began to sound like the failures of the provisional government and Bolshevik criticisms. Now Mensheviks and SRs were standing in that position. And in fact, many ordinary Russians, including many who had supported the October Revolution, were expressing their disappointment and anger. Listen to these words written by a group of workers to the Soviet leaders in early January 1918. "How long are you aggressors going to go on crucifying freedom? You imposters have the nerve to call yourselves a worker-peasant government. You're selling out us. You're betraying us. You're killing off everything holy. You're against popular power. We don't need this kind of socialism. We need order. We need complete freedom of speech and press and the inviolability of the individual." On top of all this, in the spring of 1918, the long-anticipated civil war began as anti-Bolshevik armies began moving against Soviet power. And the dramatic and traumatic events of the civil war is the subject of my next lecture.